Good morning, good morning, good morning. What a wonderful morning this is. No matter whether it's snowing, no matter whether it's raining, no matter whether it's sunny enough for you to jump in the pool or walk down the ocean coastline, this is a beautiful day. Grab out, just grab out and take in a blessing. Well, this is Professor Applewhite, and I'm here today to speak to you with our beautiful staff members and board members who call in, and we appreciate their calling in, and we know that they appreciate being supportive of the work that we're doing. Caller, you're on air. We have a caller at 226. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning.
Oh, hi. All right. Sorry.
Oh, okay. We'll come back to you. Okay, hello. And who's
this
calling?
This is Penny.
Hello, Penny. Penny Hines, our potential board White Apple Institute. She's been a supporter of White Apple Institute for over 20 years, and about 20 years anyway, and we appreciate her joining us on the show. Thank you so much. We'll be right back with you, okay? Just stay tuned.
All right.
All right. So this morning, our dear listeners out there, we looked at our switchboard list and found that our numbers are growing continuously, and Blog Talk Radio has identified us as one of the favorite shows. And so we appreciate that comment from Blog Talk Radio. Are trying their best to get in line with take just a short break. One moment, please. Thank you for allowing us that short break there. So let us continue with our show this morning. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. This is part 4 of 4. And what we're doing today is reinforcing the concepts. So the description of today's show is as follows. There will always be an internal teacher within. Don't forget that, my friends. I won't either. There will always be an internal teacher within me and within you who will help you make the most appropriate decisions in your life. I promise you that. And that inner teacher, that internal teacher, to me is God. And to you, you may call God a different name, or you may call the internal teacher a different name or a force within you. But whatever it is, it will help you to make the most appropriate decisions in your life when you're stuck and you're not sure of what to do, especially with school and work issues. As adults, we are very, very concerned about how to balance both. Although this is part four, this is our last on this particular series. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. The concepts we discussed in the last three sessions are, I hope, concepts that will stay with you, that will remain with all of us forever, if we allow them to. The major concepts we enjoyed discussing together were self-image, self-assessment, self-motivation, and self-respect. In addition to that, we talked about attitude being our belief systems and our value systems and how that's important in our sense of motivation. So Professor Applewhite and the staff and board members of White Apple Institute, welcome your comments and ideas. If you're on the computer, you should see a call-in number, but I'm going to also give that out for those that are listening in and not ready to call in. Please make sure you take this number, 1-646, dollar one first, 646-727-3758. That's 646-727-3758. And so we'll open up the line now for those who wish to comment on different things that we'll be discussing. And we'll first go into a little bit on self-image, just to review some of the things that we talked about. Self-image, the way we look at ourselves, the way we feel about ourselves, and a way of looking at ourselves and asking the question, who am I? Who am I? And last week, we had, when Penny was on the line, she reminded us of the Nelson Mandela speech, who used Marianne Williamson's poem, and acknowledging that the light that we shine so brightly within us helps others to shine their light. And so I want all of our listeners to remember that, that as you listen to the show, as you do other things in your life that help you progress, and you share that as a teacher with others, and you reinforce it with yourself, that you indeed remain the teacher and the student at the same time. And you help others so much because it is your light that you are sharing from that internal teacher we spoke about earlier. So self-image is one, and self-assessment. Let's take both of them together. The self-assessment, there's some things I wanted to add to that. We talked about assessing our relationship and acknowledging the divine power that awakens us each morning and keeps our heart pumping, keeps our brain going, and helps us determine what do we want to do today. We can wake up and we can smile, or we can wake up and we can frown, okay? But one thing we need to do is understand who we are in the morning. As soon as we awaken, understand ourselves. Just lay there for a moment and think about, who am I and what do I want to accomplish today? Not so much on the job level or the classes that you're taking, but whether you're taking classes or at a job or not, or dealing with staying in a classroom that's for your health. That means going to the doctor and reaching wellness and recovery. Any of those things, you have a choice to understand yourself, my listeners, before you try to understand others. You cannot try to understand others. I can't even do that without understanding myself. And because when we do that, we avoid calling people crazy. You've done that, I'm sure. You've done that sometimes. It's called people crazy because they don't think the way you do and they don't act the way you do, and they seem very different from you. So you say, oh, he's crazy, she's crazy. But what we're saying is basically we don't understand them because we haven't given time to understand ourselves. So identify the positive and negative attitudes quickly in the morning so you can get a great head start. And you know what? If it's a negative attitude that you have the choice, remember, to change it. Okay? Whether the bills are piling up, whether you've got a foreclosure facing you, whether you've got a layoff facing you, you still have a choice to keep that negative or positive attitude. We'll stop now and ask for any of the callers to make any comments if they wish. You have any comments?
Sure.
About image and self-assessment?
Yes. One of the things that maybe I'm commenting out of turn, but when you strive to get to know yourself, I think it behooves us all to recognize that the people in the world around us are more like us than they are different.
Mm.
What I'm trying to, well, I learned this when I was working at Vanderbilt University because I was liaison to the international student population.
Yes, yes.
I came across people from every country on this planet, and I began to realize in a very short amount of time that even though people spoke different languages and came from different cultures, there were things that we had in common. We had a sense of our own selves. We had a moral foundation that we lived by, whether it was Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, Islam, Baha'i, whatever it might be called, it was still a center that we, it was something that centered ourselves. It was, it gave us our morality, it gave us our direction. Without exception, people loved, took pride in their country, in their culture. They loved their families. They loved their people. And they loved to be alive, almost without exception. So these are things that I found that I had in common with almost everybody I encountered.
Wow.
And maybe we isolate ourselves when we look for the differences instead of looking for the similarities.
Yes, I truly, truly believe that. I thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. Because one of the things that we have to recognize is that when we talk about the basic needs of every human being, and there was a great philosopher, psychologist that brought that out, Abraham Maslow, and he talked about the basic needs that everyone on the planet would have to subject themselves to find and to keep, which is food. Oh, first off, I mean, he talked about shelter, because we have to be warm enough to eat. We have to be in a position of comfort. And so we all want shelter. We all want something to eat, a way to stay warm, and, clothing. These are basic needs that I don't care where you are, just like you were saying just a moment ago, Penny. It doesn't matter where you are on the planet. Everybody has those same basic needs. And so if we look at that as a similarity to start with, that will definitely give us a cue that maybe we're not so different. And then in addition to that, Maslow moves up into an area of saying, after we get all the basic things done, then we look around. Now our bellies are full. We have the shelter. And as human beings, now we're looking for something to do. We want to socialize. We want to network. We want to feel a sense of belonging to someone. So now we start searching out. It's not good enough for us to just be alone. We want some kind of interaction with another human being. And there are some people that dispute that and say, no, I don't want to be bothered with anybody. And that's okay. That's okay, because what they're doing is they're reliving their past. They've had some real bad experiences in their past. So they choose to rewind those circumstances every day of their life, and that dictates their day. But for those of us that wish to come out of that way of thinking and say, you know, okay, I've had a rough past. Things happened to me as a child, as a young adult. I didn't get a job, and I've been trying for 2 years to get a job. You know, you can keep rewinding that tape, or you can start today, and you can say, I'm going to change my negative attitude into a positive attitude, or what we say is a realistic attitude. And one of the ways to do that is based on what Penny was just bringing out, is recognizing that we're not alone. There are many people going through what we go through, even those with so-called the disability label, okay? You know, we don't like to use the disability word, but we know that we're really talking about differently abled people. And sometimes differently abled people can wake up in the morning and feel a sense of being cheated from life. And we'd like to help them to understand that there's a way you can make it through and adapt from where you are right now and change the negative to a positive attitude. So we'll keep on working on that. That's what this show is all about. So we appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Anything else you'd like to say, Penny?
Well, what your comments just brought to mind, my daughter-in-law, she is 38 years old as of January, mother of two, and she is an inspiration to me. A year ago in December, she was diagnosed with brain cancer.
Mm-hmm.
She has now endured three surgeries and continuous chemotherapy and two radiation therapies. They did not tell her this until this past January, but when the doctors first saw her, they did not give her 6 months to live. However, when they told Cindy about her tumors, her attitude was, that's your reality. This is not my reality. Yes, I have tumors, and yes, they are, if left alone, they are going to kill me. However, I choose to have a future. I choose to fight this, and I have reasons. I have reasons to fight. I have loved ones. I have family. I have people who care about me. I have a God who loves me, and I am going to hold on to that, and I am going to endure as long as I can and be as healthy as I can in mind, body, and spirit. She's an inspiration for me.
What an inspiration. We have another caller on air. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Oh, good morning. This is Consuelo Astete.
Professor Astete, thank you again for joining us this morning. This is wonderful. You're warming my heart to take such a beautiful time out on your Saturday morning. I know you're a busy person, to join us and share some
thank
words.
Absolutely.
Pardon?
It's a pleasure to be part of the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. As a matter of fact, we're right now speaking with Penny about her daughter-in-law, who's 38 years old and had brain cancer, brain tumors, and how that has inspired her, that fight in her. And you know what? I appreciate that, Penny, because what you're saying is what I'm talking about already this morning, is that choice we have, to wake up and say we can have a negative attitude or a positive attitude in life. It's our choice. What your daughter-in-law did, she allowed the teacher within her, that internal teacher, to appear and to teach her how to fight. And she made it through. She's doing well now, isn't she?
She actually is. She is probably going to be on chemo for the rest of her life, but she has an attitude that is even inspiring the doctors and the nurses who see her every week. They are just amazed at her. And I'm so proud of her for being as strong and as brave as she is. She's just amazing.
Yes. And you mentioned that she has children.
I mentioned what?
That she has children.
Yes, she has two sons. Jacob is 17, and Kyle will be 15 in another month.
So a 17 and a 15-year-old, that's not enough to motivate us, right? I know that so many people make a joke out of that and say, no, my children don't motivate me. But really they do, and especially under these extreme circumstances, that we can use our children, we can use our family, our people around us to motivate us to do positive things, to change our attitudes. They can motivate us. They can teach us things. They can improve our own self-image about ourselves, because that's what she did. And she did definitely an assessment. She understood where she was coming from. She's living by the principles that we're teaching on the show. Can you
absolutely
see that?
She recognizes that her job is not finished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she still has things that she, you know, goals that she wants to accomplish, and she wants to see her children grow up. She said that the image she has in her mind of her dying is as an old woman in bed surrounded by her children and grandchildren.
Those are the things I love to hear. And talk about a way acknowledging that the last concept that we talked about last, I believe it was, about self-respect. She's truly honoring herself and honoring the work that she has done in her life with her children. And she's defining respect for herself also. That's R-E-S-P-E-C-T. She's found out what it means to me. So I really appreciate you sharing her story with us and how people can truly make a choice on whether or not, almost in a sense, not whether or not she'll live or die, because, you know, that's always God's choice, the higher power of when we'll actually go. But we can see that she took a nice part in helping herself heal. I'm very sorry, and I'm sure our listeners are giving their empathy to the fact that she has to stay on chemo, and hopefully as years go on, there'll be an alternative to chemotherapy for her.
Well,
any
we
comments?
Can pray for that. But I know that she... Yes, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
She's not giving up. She has not let go of life. She is making plans for the future, and as long as she does that, I think that she will endure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. We know a lot of circumstances. We've heard of them, and you can actually walk down the halls of hospitals and recovery centers. We recently have to send our prayers to Representative Gifford, who has been shot, and all the other members of her staff and people around her that was shot by a lone gunman, it looks like, who walked into a mall. Was it a mall? I believe it was a mall, and started shooting and killing people. And they basically left Representative Gifford in a position where if she didn't take on the love of her husband, who was there night and day with her, as we understand, she took a choice. She said, I am going to think in the positive that I'm going to make it. And do you know she was just recently released from the hospital after, I think, only 3 weeks with a severe brain injury, and she's now in recovery.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. The doctors are amazed, just as we're talking about your daughter-in-law. Amazing. Amazing because they're used to the concept of being a ready student, being ready to let that internal teacher talk to us. Not the teacher in the classroom. That's important, too. But we're talking about another teacher inside of us because we are all students. Any other comments?
Not at this moment, no.
Okay. All right. Professor Estep, do you have any comments?
It's just amazing and also very inspiring.
Yes, it is. And I'm sure you know of people who have overcome things. As a matter of fact, I remember you telling me that your mother, if you don't mind talking about the circumstance, if it's too early, then it will stop. But it amazed me and inspired me that your mother, with all of the pain she must have been through, used pain medication up until the last moment. Is that true?
That's true. Yes, that's true.
Yes. What a wonderful woman she was. How strong she was. That decision.
Indeed.
That. Yes, she wanted to lean on God, wholly on God. She did not want anything to interfere with that. And that's the same story we hear of Jesus, that at that moment of crisis in his life when he was it wine or some kind of drink? Vinegar or something. What was
yes,
happening?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was something to numb the pain, and he refused it. And, you know, we find a lot of people like the world that they're either trying to move away from all of the medication that we get pumped into us when we have difficulties. I know myself, that's one of the things that I've done, is to move away from all of the pain medications, and I'm pretty proud of myself for doing that. Didn't think of how important that was. So I started hearing more stories like you're sharing. So thank you so much. I'd like to move on a moment to motivation, and I call that I call motivation our entry level, not our entry level job, but our entry level excitement. Okay. I'd like all of us. There's a lot of background noise in one of our listeners. I see other listeners on the switchboard, so they don't want to come on air right now, and that's okay. I'm sorry, I forgot to start that chat line. So the chat line is now open for those of you who chat, send a message to chat computer, and I will read that message on air without using your name or anything and share your comments, okay? But we're talking now about motivation and the motivation to understand and apply all those concepts that we just talked about. We talked about the concept of self-image, self-assessment, and self-respect, the way of working with our internal teacher. But motivation is key. Motivation starts. And we're still having that background noise. Maybe if you could look at your phone and mute it while you're moving around a little bit, that would help. Okay? But motivation is what we're motivated to look at our self-image. We're motivated to do an assessment of ourselves to try to understand us. And we're definitely motivated at that point to start showing respect for ourselves and taking on the responsibility of I've got to eat, I've got to take care of myself, and if you have children, I've got to do that with my children. What does that mean to me? Does it mean that I stay on the present job that I'm at? Do I like my job? Okay, or do I advance myself and go on back to school, maybe just on a Saturday morning and take a class? That's just a big to start the motivation turning inside of us to say, I want to do something different or better with my life. Now, and I am amazed at the people that are happy in their present job. Applause that you can say, I'm really happy. I really love my job. I don't want to change it. And I get, you know, enough education and training through my job where I feel really good that I'm advancing in life. I'm really proud of you for having that, but most people, unfortunately, are not happy with their jobs, are not happy with their lives that they've chosen. Get that last that we've chosen because we made the choice. And now sometimes we have to not necessarily live with it, but we have to adapt to it and try to find a way out, okay? And when we find that way out, we adapt to our new circumstances. This is very important. Women who have been tortured and hurt through abuse, being abused by their domestic partners. And it's so hard to get them to go to a shelter and to save themselves and save their children. There's always an excuse. There's always a reason. Well, how will I take care of myself? What will I do? How are my children going to eat? How are they going to have shelter? And so someone, a social worker or friends like our professor Steph Day and Penny Hines, knowing all of these international students that have gone through many similar circumstances, we have to be the ones to help them to reach out and touch them and say, come here, come here. I know about a resource for you. You don't have to be beaten every day. You don't have to be abused. And if you are a person who has a disability, and especially one where you're bound to the bed or bound to a wheelchair, and someone is misusing you, reach out and touch. You can call White Apple Institute, and we'll put you in touch with resources of people that can help you to get out of your present circumstances. But you must first feel the motivation. You must somewhere find a way that something motivates you to make the change happen, just like the story of Kenny's daughter-in-law that you were sharing with us. She found that motivation to say, I'm going to do this, and if when I'm going to die, I'm going to die with my grandchildren and children around me. Right, Penny?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. I didn't know whether you're still there or not, but we really appreciate you sharing that story. We're going to move on with motivation, and I really would like to hear your comments on this entry-level concept of motivation. Because don't you know?
May I give you that?
Yes, go ahead, please.
May I give you that quote? You know, you mentioned in the beginning Nelson Mandela and about letting our light shine. I have the quote in front of me. It's only 11 sentences long. It's very short. And if I could read that for you, maybe you can see why this motivates me. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that others won't feel insecure around you. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. That was part of his inaugural speech in 1994.
Yes. And we give lots of credit to Nelson Mandela for using. I just want to make sure that we acknowledge that Marianne Williamson was actually the writer of that tremendous and beautiful work that Nelson Mandela used in his inaugural speech. And we appreciate you sharing that with us. Would you, for a minute, take a moment and kind of wrap up those sentences for us and summarize in a few words, would you, what really motivates you about what you read?
That we often when we look at ourselves and we see failure, we are not doing ourselves or the world a service. We are discrediting the divine that is within us, that spark of divinity that God gave us when he breathed life into us. And that not only do we lift ourselves up when we acknowledge that, but we lift up others around us. And I think that's the thing that inspires me most when I think of that.
And tell me something. Do you see the relationship between the light within us, the divinity within us, and what we've been talking about on the show, that internal teacher?
Absolutely.
You see,
absolutely. I think that truth is universal. And if we keep ourselves open to it through mind, body, and spirit, we recognize it when we hear it. And that is the teacher speaking to us, whether it's within our own conscious, within listening to a speech from someone that inspires us, whether we're listening to a teacher in school, or whether we just see a neighbor doing a kindness for someone else. It can be the simplest things in life, but we need to be aware, we need to acknowledge, and we need to welcome those things into ourselves so that it can continue and grow.
Yes, yes. We appreciate that. And there is a connection, definite connection, between that internal light within us and the divine God light. You know, because that internal teacher is the light. It is light that reaches, that is already inside of us, that we're born with. And when that new baby opens its eyes, that you can recognize that they come through a tremendous journey and the teacher is still there within them. And then you watch them grow through the years and things start happening in their life, their environment, and the light that they came into the world with begins to dim. And you don't see it as brightly as you did when they were 4 years old talking about, I want to be a requirement. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be this. When they're in preschool. You remember what I'm talking about? Yes, they have all these dreams. And by the time now, I was going to say by high school, but now it's even earlier. By junior high school, by sixth, seventh grade, somehow they've lost that thing feeling, okay, that loving feeling for themselves. And they've lost the dream, many of them. And so that's why they start going into paths, leading themselves into paths of past disaster, joining gangs and starting to take drugs because they've lost connection. Not totally, because it can be found again, but they've lost connection to the internal teacher, to the light within us, to that divine God within us. Is that clear?
Well, yes, but we have a responsibility as parents, grandparents, friends, neighbors, whatever it might be, we have a responsibility to keep reminding those little ones that they are, that they're made of something great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that is the responsibility that we would like to see every parent and every family take on for every child that's in their environment. But as you know, and thank God that it's not prevalent everywhere, but it is growing, that parents are not being parents anymore. They're not taking on that responsibility. And that's why children are losing that internal teacher inside to guide them in making decisions for their life, appropriate decisions. Something's happening to make them withdraw from dreaming and setting goals. And sometimes it's that parent who stands in front of them. Wow. Sometimes it's that parent standing in front of them doing drugs, who's having inappropriate sexual encounters with people. Molestation issues, and dropped out of school themselves. And when you have that kind of parenting model in front of you, and parents, you are the first teachers. I mean, that's parents and caregivers are the first teachers. And so here we go, building that cycle. And it's very rare that children break out of it, but they do. Some do. Some recognize that light you talked about. The deepest fear is not that we are inadequate, but powerful beyond measure. Right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I wish that there was some way to reach everyone, to teach them that they have this within them, and it's a choice to accept that power. They have it within them, but they must accept and they must acknowledge that they have it, and then use it, hopefully for good, because, you know, there are people out there who have talents and who have, for want of a better word, power, but they choose to do destructive things with it. You have computer hackers, for instance. Instead of building better programs and teaching people how to use them, they go in and they introduce viruses and things like that onto the web. And they use the power and the knowledge that they have for destruction. And it's just, it's tragic that they don't recognize that they can accomplish great things, and yet they decide to take that power and use it for destruction.
That's right. Absolutely. And if we can, let me just share this with you. I hope this will build your hopes and the hopes of our listeners out there, is that the purpose of White Apple Institute sponsoring this radio show is to reach out to those people who may not have that support system, who may not have the parents to model, who might not have a grandmother or grandfather to teach some lessons, or teachers that have really reached out to care for them. And they fall by the wayside. they wake up one day at 25 or 35 years old and they want to change and they're looking for resources around them. The resources are there, but who helps them and supports them to get there and supports them to monitor them and nurture them so that they don't give up again? And that's the purpose of White Apple Institute, is to do that. So we hope that people go on our website and become members, because we're a totally volunteer organization. So no one gets paid. We do this work out of the kindness of our hearts and our commitment to that divine God within us. So we appreciate your donations and your memberships to help us keep going. And we hope that that lifted your spirits up, Penny, to know that there is an organization reaching out globally across the world to help make some change happen, and that you've been part of that. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
All right. Let me share something that might shed a little light on this too. You know, speaking with about parents and about models and people in front of us that if they're not doing the appropriate things, can lead us in other directions, can influence us to do just the very thing that even sometimes they don't even want to happen, but they can't give up their own addictions and their own demons, if you will. And so, unfortunately, the children who are growing up around them see that, and sometimes they fall into the same trap. And so what we're hoping is that people recognize that just because someone is an elderly person, and you, please feel free to correct me if you think that's not an appropriate thing to say, but just because it's an elderly person doesn't mean that they're necessarily a wise person. We usually associate wisdom with age, but sometimes that's not necessarily true. Sometimes our elders have the great advice that we want. Sometimes they have the absolute wrong advice or no advice at all. And this can even make the situation worse for those that are reaching out and trying to make a change happen in their life, to deal with their different abilities now, because they've been told they're disabled and maybe not able to do anything anymore by society, by other people around them. Or maybe they've been so disadvantaged in their environment because of poverty and the lack of schooling that they just feel lost. And so they go and they knock on the doors of their parents, of their family members, and say, how did you do it? Did you overcome this? Did you have this bad feeling inside of you and then you wanted to just break away and do something different with your life? And sometimes they don't get an answer. So we hope that we become the answer to them. Any comment, Professor Estete?
I think, Professor Danita, this is the most wonderful purpose of White Apple Institute, and this is what very, you know, commendable about the institution. It's exactly what you described, the purpose, especially in nowadays because of the problems that we see.
Thank you.
So this is exactly what the purpose of what Apple Institute is, and I think it's marvelous.
And, you know, I'm going to share a case study with you in just a moment, because we have, unfortunately, many students who have issues in America about going to school here and about whether or not they have the language skills to survive school. And so we just wanted to make sure that we're giving them an opportunity to really succeed. And so I wanted to share a case study. Let's just call her name Bertha, okay, because I can't use the real name. But Bertha, she has nothing to share in life, nothing to share with anybody. She recently had an abortion. As a matter of fact, she says she had miscarriages, and then she went and had an abortion, so that's three children. And she's feeling very, very lost. She's from what she claims is the backwoods of Mississippi. And there may be some similarities in this case to other people that are out there listening to us, so feel free to call in to 646-727-378 for comment. And but the listeners that are on air right now, I'd like you to help us with this case study in trying to determine how we would help Bertha, who has nothing to share. She's from the backwoods of Mississippi, and she meets another student. She starts going to a GED program, and she meets another student, and this other student, his name is Martin, and he's from Eastern Europe. And the same thing that she's claiming, that she doesn't feel that she can make it because she doesn't have anything to go on, and she has a southern accent. And she said people think she's stupid with her southern accent. And here this guy Martin is talking to her with his accent and says, you know, I'm trying to get my English skills together. You're in a better position than I am. He admits he doesn't feel confident in his native language. And he shares his thoughts and feelings with her, and she shares her thoughts and feelings. And both of them are kind of like advising each other, which is part of self-assessment. They're checking themselves out and saying, well, maybe he's not in a better position than I am, and maybe she's not. And developing some kind of self-esteem and self-respect. And they feel happy that they found somebody. And that's what happens a lot. You know, we talk about White Apple Institute reaching out and helping people. But what we hope is that in that helping people, that there'll be something else. Another student that you'll meet, another person on the job that you're trying so hard to keep that job, but you feel afraid because they're progressing. Professor Estete may remember we did a contract together with Pepsi Cola, and they were eliminating their employees that could not read English skills or keep up with the technology. Say that they weren't eliminating them because they couldn't read. They provided the program to help them read and to help them fit in. And some of them could not do that because, again, that motivation wasn't there. They had lost their self-respect. And they walked away from a good job and an opportunity to learn. So here we go again with the same situation that could have happened here, but Bertha turned around and changed her attitude, and Martin changed his attitude. Why? Why did they do that? Have any comments, Professor Sete?
I guess because they realized that also one problem is that people being isolated, they don't have enough friends or other people to support them or to help them see themselves in a clearer light. And by finding this person, each one of them realized that they were underestimating themselves. And that is the value of having other people to support you and to help you see things more clearly.
Very good comment.
Isolation. The problem is isolation. Just like you were saying, Professor Applewhite, that the parents do not do the job anymore, and the youth grow by themselves, and so they don't really have the right guidance.
Right, exactly. And, you know, both of these students are over 30 years old, and so, you know, we work more with adult learners at White Apple Institute because we find that children in the kindergarten through 12th grades, even though they still do need help, but there are a lot of resources around, and we're hoping that the teachers that are teaching these children from K through 12 are listening and able to reinforce some of the things that they're hearing on the show. And so we're hoping that we are making an impact them, as well as we're making an impact on the people like Bertha and Martin in the world, that isolation theory that you talked about, very, very, that's a very good comment because they were isolated. And I didn't even bring that out, but definitely both of them isolated themselves from other people, again, because they didn't feel that they could really make it in the world. They found each other. Again, like Penny was talking about earlier, they found the similarities within each other. And they focused on how similar they are instead of how different they are.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see how all of this, everything that we said this morning, really ties together that internal teacher, if we allow that internal teacher to talk to us and to help us to reach out and say, today I'm going to make the call. Today I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to call either White Apple Institute to get started, or I'm going to be strong enough to call the school and ask about programs and what can help me. And I promise you that as we've helped other students to walk through the door, sometimes it's so hard to walk through the door of a college or a GED workshop to help you pass the test to be a high school equivalent, or to walk through the doors and of an English language class, English as a second language class. Oh, these are difficult steps to make. We believe in you, and we know that you can do it. We know that it's hard for you if you have severe disabilities especially, and we're talking about being wheelchair or bedbound. We know it's hard to say, you know, I'd like to do something online. I heard that people can do things on computer from their bed. Okay? So I want to make that move and take a course right there laying in my bed. Or they can use the excuse, well, I don't know computers. That's why you take the basic computer course, so you will know it. And you can do that right online. If you need help in connecting to that resource, call us here at White Apple Institute. Let me give you the number for that. It's 480-471-8082. For those of you who do not have access to our website, whiteappleinstitute.org. But what we're hoping is that our intervention with you, our support with you, will be what it is, a very short support. If it needs to be longer, we'll make that. But we want to help you to connect to other people. We want to help you to move on from your past and look at a brighter future, no matter what has happened to you. Just know there is no failure. There is no failure when you try. And I'm sure some of us have said that to our children. Am I right, Penny?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
There absolutely is nothing wrong with whatever you choose to do. When my children were growing up, I explained to them that, you know, there is no job that is insignificant. And if your abilities are that you want to be a ticket taker in a movie theater, mm-hmm. then you be the best ticket taker in a movie theater that you can possibly be.
Good example.
I mean, you have God's light within you. Let it shine in whatever abilities that you have. Don't concentrate on the disabilities. Yes, it does make you have to compensate in a way that maybe other people don't have to compensate. But people hear this all the time, but it's absolutely true. You are special. You are unique. And you just have to be the best at whatever it is you choose to be. And it is a choice. Even
mm-hmm.
though you may think that your choices are limited, you have a brain, and that is half the battle right there. And then you have a want. You have a need that needs to be filled.
That's motivation. That's right.
Yes.
There it is, right
your
there.
Your goal may be to own your own business. Okay. That's a huge goal, but it's also pretty vague. Just like you have a banquet set before you, you cannot eat that banquet in one bite. You have to take little bites to get all the food on your plate now. It's mm-hmm. the same for anything. I personally hate to do dishes. So I fill the sink with water and I say, okay, I'm going to wash all the glasses. Mm-hmm. And when the glasses are washed, it's like, okay, I've accomplished a goal. Next I want to do the silverware. And by taking the smaller bites out of my goal, I can get it done. But it overwhelms me when I look at this sink full of dirty dishes. That's a pretty elementary way of explaining it, but it's just as simple as that. You have something that you need to accomplish, and you need to break the bigger goal down into smaller pieces so that you can get it done. But each time you accomplish one of those small pieces, you have succeeded. You are a success.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much for sharing that. We've got about 3 minutes to go, and we want to make sure that we ask Professor Asete if there's anything that she would like to say to those students out there, because we know that teaching in a university level, most of them supposedly are supposed to come in with already this sense of motivation. But I've heard her say many times there are students who come in that are not motivated and not focused on doing the work appropriately. And that can be bothersome, especially at the university level, because you assume that those students understand what studying is all about. But here we go. We're taking them all the way back to the basics again of saying to them, you need to learn how to survive first before you even come to the university level. Why don't you know how to survive first? We get to go back to that. You keep saying your car is breaking down. You keep saying you have no gas. You keep saying your lights are off. These things need to be put in order so that you can go to school successfully. Am I right, Professor Asete?
Yes, I think what Penny shared is a wonderful advice, you know, to just do everything in steps. And in that way, you can feel successful. And also, I would like to ask Professor Applewhite to give out the number again that people can call, where the people can call to find out about resources.
All right. For White Apple Institute, that number again is 480-471-8082. And soon we will have an 800 number that people can call in on, so it won't cost them anything. But right now, you'll have to pay for that call to call in during the week, unless you call during the weekend on your cell phone. You can get a lot done by just calling into the show and taking on you from the show or going into the chat room. So we thank you with less than 1 minute remaining, and we wish you much love and peace and hope to hear from you next week on the Student to Teacher to Student radio show on the Internet. God bless you all. God continue to bless us. We are already blessed. Enjoy your week, and I'll speak to you next Saturday. This is Professor Applewhite signing off and thanking Nazim Rashid for his beautiful music.